Welcome to the Plastic Plesiosaur Podcast.
We are your hosts, Trey the Explainer.
And me, Miles Greb.
A podcast about the natural world.
Things that people claim are part of the natural world.
And things that used to be.
Trey, we're back with another episode, buddy.
That's right. That's right. We're back, baby.
Yeah, it's been a while. I've been hanging out with my family and other such things. So, you know, we haven't had a Sunday off to do a show, but we do today. So
That's right.
Kind of a sad Sunday for me because my football team sucks. Our starting quarterback is kind of like Schliemann.
He uses dynamite.
Yeah, that's why. No, because so basically he's terrible, right? He's really bad. He got donkey brains. But we went to the Super Bowl with him one time. So everybody like goes back to that to prove that he's like good, you know? And that's like Schliemann. Guys, you know, he got donkey brains also. He blew up Troy with dynamite, but like he did find Troy. So like everybody just goes back to that, you know, say what you want about him, but he did kind of find it. So that's kind of the situation we're at with our quarterback.
Dang. Sorry about that. Are you doing, was it just one bad game or just the season?
Oh,
bad?
No. No, he's a black hole of hope.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah. 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 So sports is rough. We do have a new one, and he broke his foot the second game of the year. We had to go back to the old one.
So dang.
Yeah, that's fun. But my dad came up, and we went fishing, and we went out on my canoe, and that was fun. And I caught a turtle on accident.
I saw your video. You sent me videos of you fishing. It looked nice out there.
Yeah, man. Dad. Yeah, it's funny because I had a worm out on a hook at the bottom of the lake, and then a big old turtle grabbed onto it, and I was like, "What the heck fish do I got?" Because you know, turtle don't fight and swim around, right? But it's still like heavy, and you could tell it's like alive. I pull it up, and it's just a big old turtle, and I'm like, "What are you doing, guy? Same for you."
That's awesome.
And then I went and saw Elton John.
Yeah. You sent me a video of that too. He sounds awesome.
Yeah, it was so cool to see him. You know, I love Elton, and my mom likes Elton John, so she came up and we went together, and it was fun. Lots of people were dressed up, you know, in different Elton John outfits and stuff, and he played all the hits, except for the Lion King song. We didn't get to hear the Lion King.
I forgot that he's involved with the Lion King.
Yeah, well, he did the Lion King soundtrack and Road to El Dorado soundtrack.
I haven't seen Road to El Dorado. I've seen Lion King.
You haven't seen Road to El Dorado.
I've seen the clips of the songs, but not the movie itself.
Oh, we should just watch that together. First viewing of Trey.
One of my friends who's like really into like Mesoamerican history stuff. He loves El Dorado, like Road to El Dorado.
That's a good bisexual movie too.
It's a good bisexual movie.
It is. You got a lot of. It's kind of like The Mummy, where you got several attractive characters who got the good chemistry together, and you know. Different people could be fucking. You don't know for sure.
Isn't Hernan Cortez in that movie?
Yeah.
Dang, yeah, that's. I saw like his character, and he's like this really big evil guy.
They play the ball game too.
They do? Oh yeah, shoot!
I mean, I don't think it's exactly accurate, but you know, they do.
That's cool.
I posted a picture the other day of an Olmec rubber ball that's like 3,000 years old, and it's still like, you know, kind of intact. It's pretty cool.
That is really cool. No, that's awesome. I saw a concert too. I went to see Gorillaz.
Oh, the Gorillaz, awesome, dude. That's pretty badass.
Yeah, they were great. They were really great. Like you could tell that they like. I don't know. I've been to concerts where like you can tell that the performers are kind of phoning it
in.
Like they don't want to be there, and like they were like genuinely happy to be out there, which was.
Were awesome. They anime characters in real life?
They were not. They didn't do it this time around for some reason.
That's disappointing.
I know. They usually do it right where they have like the characters animated and like they talk and stuff. They did not have that, unfortunately.
My dad loves the Clint Eastwood song. That's his favorite.
Oh, nice, nice. That was like one of the last songs. That was like their encore.
That's a good one, man. That's a good one.
Yeah, yeah. And also, I don't know if you've been following my Twitter, where I'm like uploading horses all the time because I'm just like a horse person now.
Yeah, you're a horse boy. It's fine.
It's fun. It's good stuff.
Yeah, that's good. So you're still out riding then?
I am. I just got done riding earlier today. Awesome. I learned how to trot finally.
Oh, you're a trotter.
I'm a trotter, which is like where they, I like did it by accident actually. Like at first, like she was just like, make it go. My instructor was like, make it go to like a faster walk. And they just started like trotting, like it's almost like mm-hmm. running. And I was like, oh my gosh. but it was good. It's good. It does stuff to your thighs. It does stuff to your crotch. It's a little rough, but
yeah, your thighs will get rough from riding for sure. But.
yeah. So that's cool. I rode a horse named Barney.
Oh, horse named Barney.
He was a good horse. It was nice because he's like, I don't know, horse riding, you have to be assertive. It's like learning how to be like confident and assertive to like an animal.
Yeah.
It's like
I mean, you're on top. You got to act like a top, you know?
I guess that's right. I guess that's right. A little horse metaphor.
That's a little something metaphor.
It's a little something metaphor. There is a lot of like oddly weird, like I don't know, innuendo stuff when it comes to like horseback riding and all that.
100%.
It is a legitimate thing.
Yeah, so, yeah. So what are you working on anything? You're still in school? You're learning?
I'm still learning. I haven't worked on any videos in a while.
That's all right.
A shame.
It's
okay. But I've been watching, what am I doing? Just mostly school stuff, I guess. Almost done though, which is good.
That's good.
And then I'll be all focused on YouTube stuff. I got into field school. That was cool.
Awesome. That's cool.
I'm going to be digging in ancient Greece, which is cool.
Fuck yeah.
I'm going to be doing an excavation at Aigai, which is the royal tombs of Alexander the Great's family members.
Oh, well, that's like the thing perfect. That you like.
It's like perfect. I was very amazed that I got in. I was like, whoa.
So you get to find stuff that Angelina Jolie owned.
Oh yeah. That bad movie. that movie, like in Angelina Jolie's room. That's just who she is now, not Olympias.
Yeah.
In her room, they have like a whole bunch of just like random ass like archaeological like findings in there. There's like the ram from like Samaria and stuff. Like they just like were like, okay, the prop department was like, let's just pile random stuff.
They just googled old Hellenist area shit. Fucking era stuff. Just throw it in there.
It's not even like Hellenistic era. It's like stuff from like ancient Sumer and all that. It's like totally unrelated cultures. Yeah, I guess technically she could have it because it's like imported maybe. That's me being stickler.
Man, I was with my mom the other day and we were watching something that was set like in history, right? It was like Roman or something. Mm-hmm. And I said, oh, that's not that, Mom. It's a different part of history. And she's like, well, hell if I know. I don't know anything about history. And I say, oh, no, it's not Hellenist. And she, I thought it was a good pun. I thought it was a good joke. But she
didn't. Maybe she just didn't get it. Did she get it?
No, she didn't get it at all. She don't know anything about history. my mom only knows about the Bible, but she hasn't like read the Bible, but she claims to know about the Bible.
Oh, yeah, Bible's okay.
It kind of sucks.
Overrated.
It doesn't have a very good. I mean, like the characters just come and go randomly. People promise things are going to happen, and like they don't happen. You know.
Yeah.
Like,
very meandering. Yeah. Doesn't know what the direction it's
like
going.
Like
in.
Game of Thrones style writing, I'd say.
The jetpacks, little finger jetpacks, and all that. Oh my gosh.
Well, you know, they're like, oh, the Messiah is going to come and be from the line of David, and he's going to overthrow the Romans. But that didn't really happen, did it? It didn't. Like they have to be like, oh, Jesus is made from God, but don't worry about it. He's from the line of David because of some bullshit. And then, like,
there's a lot of bullshit in like trying to get him in the right city, born to like the right time. Yeah,
and I don't know. It seemed like the Romans were still around because Constantine's like, you know, he liked the story and shit. So I don't think that part really worked.
What about Tyre? What about the city of Tyre that was supposed to fall?
Just a whole bunch of shit. Yeah, you know, just it could have used a couple edits. Is all I'm saying. You know, better editor.
There's like a lot of random stuff in there, like what's like the sex book? There's like a book in the Bible that's like literally like a very sexually charged romance poem.
Well, there's some of that in Psalms.
Song of Solomon or something like that.
That's because Solomon had many wives, man. What's he gonna talk about? He's up to the business every day.
Yeah, it's an erotic poem. Yeah, there's an erotic poem in the Bible, kids, if you want to read it. It's in there.
Is there a VeggieTales episode about that?
I don't think so. I think they skipped over that one, unfortunately.
Yeah, they got to teach the kids, man. They got to teach the kids the Bible. You got to stick to it. Can't be cutting stuff.
A lot of people skip over the book, like in the Genesis, there's like Og and Onan and stuff.
Yeah. They creation is like Og. They like giants, you know.
Oh yeah. Og is the giant. Onan is the guy that he pulled out is his thing, and then he died. That's the whole story. It's like God smoting people.
Og is such a cliche name for a giant, you know. like if you told me there's a giant named Og, I'd be like, bro, you're making that up. If you told me there's a giant and his name was Timothy, I was like, well, maybe there's a giant. That sounds like a real name.
Yeah, Og. What other giant names are there in the Bible? No, I have to look back.
Well,
I have
Goliath.
To
go to, like, Book
of Enoch. Yeah, I guess there's Goliath. Yeah, and then his brother, who was inserted in after the fact. Sorry, I'm being meandering. The Bible, everybody, check it out. Yeah. Don't check it out. Maybe you could skip it. I don't know.
Two stars. So, Trey, I heard you got a story for us, buddy.
I do. I got a story. This is a little old story now. I made it like a little while ago. But because in my notes it says earlier this week. No, this was like 3 weeks ago or something.
It's okay. We're behind. Everyone's behind. It's fine.
So there was this police department, the Twitter account of this police department, the Edmonton Police. Let's see where they're at. Canada, I think. Yeah. Alberta, Canada.
Trust those Canadians.
I know those Canucks.
Those Canucks.
They used a new technology that I've heard before, called DNA phenotyping, or snapshot DNA sketch. Have you heard of this, Miles?
I have not actually.
I think I heard about it mostly because my mom likes watching those murder shows.
Oh, yeah. I don't watch that stuff.
The sort of like investigative discovery stuff.
I watched Unsolved Mysteries in the 90s because that guy had a cool voice. And sometimes there were aliens on the show. But that's all I watched.
I did have a good voice. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
I'll play some clips of him talking.
Yeah. What if you could change channels at will? Tune into programs no one else could see? And what if you could never turn the set off? The idea of a creature larger than a gorilla with an odor like a skunk might seem far-fetched. Tupac Shakur was executed by a hired assassin. So that anyone can become famous overnight. Tears in the fabric indicate that Don had been stabbed before he was run over by the train. The horrors of a Nazi concentration camp. The two men, one black, one white, were in their late 20s or early 30s. In this country, they had earned their way into a respectable middle-class life. The men in black have been under the influence of marijuana. The Dream Factory. Christmas miracle. Fact, fantasy, and history have come together to tease the imagination. We scream, we jump, we laugh, and we go home. Among them was a Franciscan monk named Espinoza, infamous for his ruthless ambition. According to the legend, he carried only three tools, a hammer, a saw, and a T-square. Elvis Presley died by his own hand.
Well, anyways, this DNA phenotyping, the snapshot, is like, whenever they talk about it on these shows, it's like the key to the future of crime scene investigation. It's going to revolutionize everything because it allows here's what they say. They say that they can take the DNA of a suspect and, sorry, my cat, can you edit this? Sorry, I'm going to take my cat out.
No, I'm keeping the cat part in.
Oh my gosh, okay. Give me a sec. I'm going to pick her up
fine.
And put her out. Hey, stop touching the thing. Okay, thank you. Get out of here. You're being naughty. Okay, I'm back. Sorry about that.
I forgive you.
Okay. She was literally like slapping her little paws on the keyboard.
Yeah, cats are weird little dudes.
They're weird. So anyways, this snapshot, DNA sketch, it has so many names, is this idea that they're going to take the DNA of a suspect, right, at a crime, like a murder or something else, and they can genotype it. They take they like make it so they can analyze the ancestry, like I guess like Ancestry DNA, like one of those websites, and then they take the information from it and create a face of the suspect. Whoa,
ooh, I don't know about that.
Like a wanted poster of the suspect based entirely on their DNA.
Is it better than that one sketch of the wanted poster sketch?
Oh yeah, the one that was on the news. It's like a smiley face.
It's just like a little guy with a pointed little chin and everything. But they found him. It did work, so maybe I shouldn't criticize it.
Have you seen, there's the video of the leprechauns in, I think it's Alabama.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
take like a eyewitness sketch of the leprechaun. It's
yeah.
Like a smiley face.
They did not find him though. He's on the
list. They did not, unfortunately.
Look out.
I love that clip so much. If you know that clip, look it up, please. It's great.
Yeah, that's a classic. That's a classic.
Yes. So it allows you to create the face of the suspect based on their DNA. And the Edmonton police posted a tweet of who was their suspect I think it was a sexual assault or something like that. Yeah. And so I had criticisms to say about this thing where like it's phony genetics. It really doesn't work. So the technology that they use is like they generate this face, a 3D model of a face. And in this case, it was like a black guy. And but the thing is, they know nothing about him besides basically just his ancestry.
Hmm.
So you could just, so like, it's like, okay, I take your DNA, Miles.
Yeah.
It says, I don't know, European ancestry, I'm assuming, yeah, or something like that.
I'm German.
German. And so like, it shows Northern Europe. That's all they got. And so like, it's going to generate a white guy face for you. That's all it's going to do.
I do have a white guy face, to be fair.
But the thing is, it tells you nothing about, like, I don't know, facial hair, weight.
Well, it also, not only weight, but, like, I mean, there's epigenetic and environmental things that changes the way you look. You know? Or even your diet, or if you smoke. And like you said, your weight, all those things change.
Right. Yeah, that's what I was going to say, is, like, face shape is determined by, like, hundreds, if not thousands, of separate little factors that are both genetic and environmental.
Humans are all one race, but there's, like, different large genetic allele groupings.
Oh, haplogroups?
Haplogroups, yeah.
Yeah. Right?
So like, yeah, you could tell, you can predict some range of phenotypes in those haplogroups, but not really, you know, yeah. Like you're squaring down to something that might be a mean face, you know, or like the mode of a face. But like, how many hits are there in that mode? You know, if this haplogroup has like 1,000 different kind of, you know, generally similar faces, like, I mean, you're just picking one out of that group, you know. And then also, like, human beings are extremely highly evolved and sensitive to notice every little different phenotypical difference between us. Right. Since we're social animals. So like, you can't just spitball that shit. Well, no.
Right.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So basically the face generated by this is like a complete fabrication. It like takes like an average face of somebody of that like ethnic background, I assume.
How are they determining their ethnic background? Like, so like, just because somebody has dark skin doesn't mean they have that much African DNA.
Right. Right. No. So they use a method that's similar to like the ancestor DNA people, where they
which is not total pseudoscience, but it is iffy. Right. There's problems with it.
It is. Yeah. No. Even that's like definitely iffy, and like and it uses like percentages. Like I think in this case, it was, I gotta look back at my notes on it. It was like East African, West African, and some South African or something like that, and like. I think it was like 50% was West African, I think. But the thing is like the Edmonton police, like in their snapshot database thing, it said like, oh, he's West African, but it's not like a fourth is East African, a fourth is South African. So like, I don't even know how they balance off like people of mixed race ancestry and stuff. Like, how does that factor into it? I don't think it does. I don't think the technology is sophisticated. Yeah, I mean,
from like a genetic non-cultural level, we're all mixed race, you know, like we're all like very few people have like low genetic diversity from like people outside of like their area. Right. Like even people in Europe are a mix of all the different like fairer skinned ethnic groups, you know, so everybody's mixed. So like in America, we normally focus on like skin color when we talk about that. Right. And because of like a history of like terrible racism in our country, but like when you're just looking at it from like how do you figure that these people look, I just don't see how you could get to it. So
I definitely agree. Yeah, like there's so many factors involved that like and then for them just to put up like this face of a person that like just doesn't exist, they just made up this face,
especially because like, you know, tiptoe around it, but they put up a black man's face, like we're looking for a black man, they just randomly pull it out. It's kind of fucked, right? Like,
right. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, we're just going to use this random black guy's face to represent our suspect.
So if you see a random black guy, call us.
Call us.
Exactly. Well, I guess that has been your fucking MO for years, I guess. You know, so I guess that's not a big change.
Right about now, NWA court is in full effect. Judge Dre residing. In the case of NWA versus the police department, prosecuting attorneys are MC Ren, Ice Cube, and Easy Motherfucking E.
Order, order, order. Ice Cube, take the motherfucking stand. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help your black ass?
You goddamn right.
Won't you tell everybody what the fuck you gotta say?
Yeah. No, I have a huge criticism with the snapshot DNA thing in general, because I've seen it on like my mom's shows, and they go like, wow, look how good it is. And they'll show like the suspect, like who's caught versus the DNA sketch that they made. And the thing is that they have like their software generates like probably like 20 of those faces or something like that, of varying ages and stuff and weights.
Yeah, then they pick the one that's the best hit, right?
Right, after the fact. Then they go like, oh, look, it looks a lot like them. And there's a lot that just like look like Oblivion characters and just don't look like human beings at all.
A lot of pseudoscientists do this. They generate like from palm reading to tarot to like the guy who said that he could like play music and water, and the water would like make different crystals because of the music, you know. Forget that guy's name, Japanese dude. But like all these pseudosciences, basically what they do is they just generate a lot of data and they go through the data and look for the ones that count as hits, right? Like the guy with the crystals would like, he would go through all the different slices and find the ones that he thought, oh, this looks like heavy metal to me, or this looks like classical. Or, you know, cold readers will throw out a whole bunch of different like names you might know or might be your brother or something, and then you get a hit. That's the same thing. They just develop, you know, 23. They roll 23 characters in Oblivion, then one of them kind of looks like somebody. So there you go. It worked. It's like,
right.
Yeah. That's a common tactic. And I guess it works on the weak minded.
The Force can have a strong influence on the weak minded.
Yeah. That's the thing, is like, I'm worried that this type of technology is going to catch on, even though like it's just bad science. It's not good. And like other geneticists like agree with me that this is just like, this is pseudoscience basically.
And the fact that it was probably going to be used by people who don't have the expertise needed to use it anyway. Right. Like these cops don't have the training to use the shit. And then like, I don't know, like it's probably going to be used pretty racistly. So maybe that might be its downfall, you know?
Yeah, I don't trust cops enough.
Yeah, I think it's fair. I think, you know, not trusting cops is a pretty reasonable science-based opinion.
Check out that one I just sent you.
Okay.
Whoa.
Facebook or on the...
It's on...
Zencastr, yeah, okay. Oh, yeah, that's a Sims character. They got him.
They got him, baby.
That guy wishes he looked like that. So basically, we got a older gentleman who's, you know, like not in his physical peak. And then the he's probably like a 3 or a 2. And then our guy looks like, you know, probably like a 7 in PlayStation 2 Sims. You know,
and he's of like a different age. He's just completely, because they can't tell the age of the person just based on the DNA alone. Or like hairstyle is a lot of it, and then like the weight that you carry on your face is completely different, all that. And then like
they have hits because they're generating a lot of data, right? But like there's just so many more misses,
right? So it's like it basically tells you, okay, the person is of European ancestry or like African-American ancestry or whatever, or African ancestry, and then like that narrows like it down to like really not, like it doesn't narrow it down that much. It tells you nothing. So it's pretty unhelpful at the end of the day, I'm going to say. Like on a related topic, like I've talked to archaeologists about like facial reconstructions in general, like where people will take like the skeleton or skull and try to like
the Britney Spears one with Cleopatra.
Yes, the Cleopatra one, right?
It's a pretty bitch.
Where like he was talking about Copernicus, the reconstruction that was made, I guess like 10 years ago or something like that, was like super like, I don't know, it was very criticized because like they made the people behind it, made him look very like Germanic apparently.
Yeah,
he had like blonde hair and stuff. But like other people were like, he should look more like Russian. He should look more like that. And so like a lot of it is like the bias of like the reconstructors can play into it too. And it's like a lot of like guesswork. Cause you don't know like how thick the muscles will be on the face, like what the eyelids will look like and the fat hairstyle, skin, even skin color can be like, I don't know, up in the air depending on genetics. It's so many complex factors to generate a human face that like,
yeah,
it's
very difficult. My face looks way different if I have a beard or not.
Yeah.
If I lose 15, yeah, right. When I shaved, I look much younger.
Right.
Or if I lose like 15 pounds, my face would look way different, you know? Like,
yeah.
You can't tell. And also, like, instead of my diet or if you smoke, it totally changes how your face looks.
Mm.
Because I know that they probably would say, hey, we can't account for those things. We're not claiming to account for those things. But I mean, like, there's so many of those things. There's so many other variables. It kind of makes whatever they are doing kind of useless, especially because like we don't want to be like, hey, look for this guy. He's a 20-time rapist, 10-time murderer. And like they put a picture out there that just looks like some random person. You know, like we don't want to just be accusing people of crimes that like.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. If you want to see some bad facial reconstruction stuff, check out Kennewick Man with Patrick Stewart.
All right.
We're like, see like how it changed over time when we got more data and information. I'm advising police departments, don't use this snapshot technology. It kind of sucks. It's not good genetics.
I bet you this is a startup or something that sold this stuff. This is just a for-profit bullshit thing like Theranos, you know?
Yeah. I think you're right.
Yeah, they sold it to these guys. Oh, to save you all this time and help you. It's cutting edge or whatever. Right? The science, the cops don't know. I mean, they're not researchers.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they really aren't. Yeah.
And like I said, we don't need more tools for cops to be discriminatory. That's not something we need.
That's right. Because, this hurts people at the end of the day. It can like, you know, it affects lives, choosing the wrong person and all that. Oh, look at this one, Miles. I found an even better one. Check this out. Oh, wait. No, don't look at that one. It's just me.
Oh, yeah. That's fucking spot on.
So, yeah, what they show you is like it, what appears in like the news headlines and stuff is like the very cherry picked photos where the suspect looks exactly like his sketch.
But all the snapshots are showing them being like 25 years old, too.
Right. Right.
You know,
yes.
Like, well, why are they doing? Why does it do that? It makes no sense. Like, and they might be able to fix that with software, but, you know, they're using it now and that's the way it works now. So that's the way you're getting criticized. So.
Right.
If somebody who's a proponent of this is like, well, you know, we're aware of those shortcomings. Yeah, well, then don't use it. You know, fix the shortcomings and then I'll analyze it when you have a better version out.
Yeah. Like, why is it used in like active crime scenes? Why is this? Yeah.
Well, they use fucking like mediums and stuff at active crime scenes.
They do. They do actually use mediums. Oh.
When I was working for the newspaper at one of the colleges I went to, Butte College, one of the guys running for like to be in charge of the police locally and stuff, he had a history of using psychic mediums to like, you know, look for crime victims and stuff. And I asked him about it when I interviewed him and he's like, well, they're very effective. And I was like, well, how do they work? Have you tried to learn how it works so you can teach it to like other people in the police officer? We can get a whole psi force going on. And then he cut off the interview.
Oh no.
You know, I can't handle shit like that. Too stupid.
Yeah, psychics are really dumb. Yeah.
All right, so Trey, so one of the reasons like I like doing Monster Quest with you is because all the shows out there and they do have some kind of, you know, paranormal explanations. They do kind of try to make it about science and possible real animals, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, they kind of.
There's an attempt.
There's like ghost episodes and stuff, but you know, they want to do good science, I think. Maybe they don't know how, but they're trying to do good science, you know? Not everything's a spook or an alien. They think some things might actually just be a weird ape, right?
Yeah. And sometimes you got to do things for the views, you know?
Yeah. The views.
The goofy stuff.
Yeah. Well, so this one we're going to do is Boneless Horror, the octopus, right? We're going to talk about octopuses.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. Did you know that the octopus actually comes from outer space?
I did not know that. No, octopus is from outer space.
Yeah, so this is a paper that was published a few years ago, but I thought I'd bring it up because of, you know, we're talking Monster Quest, we're talking giant octopuses, right? So this is a paper that was published in August of 2018. Mm. And, you know, in a journal that I don't think you'll go to very much, but...
I've heard about this. I heard about this through Ancient Aliens, an episode of Ancient Aliens that was on.
There you go. So this is called Causes of the Cambrian Explosion, Terrestrial or Cosmic, right? So basically, if you don't know the Cambrian Explosion, I think probably most of our listeners do. This is about 5.5 million years ago. This is like, you know, if you're looking down the fossil record, there's like some little stuff happening. All of a sudden, boom, there's a whole bunch like of advanced life, right?
Mm.
So, like, if you don't know much about the Cambrian explosion, you know, go check out a YouTube video. A very important moment in the history of life on Earth, and awesome just to learn about in general. But anyways, basically the idea is that there's no way that this would have happened through just Darwinistic, you know, selective pressures and simple organisms turning to complex organisms. It happened way too fast, because when you look at... the fossil record in different times, you just don't see the amount of change that you saw happen in the Cambrian explosion. There was just too much evolution too fast, right? Well, this paper is trying to argue that the reason why that happened, that all this change happened so fast, is because alien life, alien genes, possibly a virus, a retrovirus, came to Earth and was a selective pressure in some way on the evolution in this period of life, right?
That's quite an idea.
It's definitely an idea. Now, it's not an entirely new idea, because, like, you know, after Darwin kind of, you know, knocked out God, right? To a lot of people, they still kind of wanted a celestial, a cosmic, a bigger explanation than just kind of the ponds come to fish to apes to human thing, right? Obviously, that's a extreme oversimplification, but just so we can move on. Like even Lord Kelvin in 1871 said, we must regard it as probable in the highest degree that there are countless seed-bearing meteoric stones moving about and through space. And if at any present instance no life existed upon them, one such stone falling upon it might, by what we blindly call natural causes, lead it to become covered with vegetation. Right. So this is this idea that there's some meteor floating around space and it has organic chemistry going on, maybe some trees, some tomato plants or whatever. And it bumps into a rocky, chemically planetoid or planet somewhere out there. And the life that's on the meteor starts to grow on the planet or planetoid. Right. That's basically the idea.
Like seeds. It's like seeding life.
Yeah. Like in Prometheus. Planet.
Yeah.
Although
it kind of, yeah, I guess you're right.
Yeah. I guess we can't talk about that anymore.
The debate was settled, right?
I guess. I guess. I don't know who won. I feel like everybody lost.
What's like the, wasn't there like a tagline to a movie? It's like whoever, regardless of who wins, we all lose or something like that. That's like the Prometheus debate.
Yes, whatever tagline that was, it fits for this. Anyways, so one of the central claims of this paper, and the one that made most of the headlines, was basically that octopuses are way too fucking weird and different than mollusks to have just evolved from mollusks, right? So basically, like, the octopus, they're snails, right? They're just, yeah. they're snails that can do all this wild stuff, because, I mean, to be fair, the octopus, a lot of different species of octopus can change colors. They can mimic the behaviors of different predators as they change colors. They look like them, like their bodies can like move in and out through anything. And they can like they use tools and like they're super smart. Right. So like I kind of get you're like, well, how'd that thing come from like a snail? Right. Or a nautilus, because those things don't seem like they're doing too much, you know. So that's kind of the idea. The idea is, well, there's just no way that this happened, which is, you know, it's an idea.
what was their evidence for? Are you going to get to that? Sorry.
Oh, sure. Yeah, they have tons of evidence.
Okay.
Yeah. So the first evidence is that there's fossilized meteorites that show alien microbes inside of them, right?
Okay.
Now, this, of course, is not true, however.
Yeah, I was going to say that's debatable.
Well, yeah, it's the debate's kind of settled, I'd say. So there's a very famous meteorite that had a weird substance on the outside of it. People are like, oh, what the shit is this? It's like clear and stuff. It's some kind of weird carbon-based thing. Is this organic chemistry? Well, it was glue.
Oh.
Is what it was, and it was fake.
Alien glue? Oh.
Well, I don't know if the aliens developed glue or not. I'm going to say no, but I don't know that. I can't confirm it. So yeah, that was faked. And like every few years you see a new meteorite that someone's like, oh, there's a weird like hole in it or a weird little cut, like micro cuts, like, and you see in a microscope, right? Like these must be fibers or hairs or something, but it's all bullshit. Every time we look at it, there's just no evidence for this, right?
Yeah, there was like one Martian meteorite that I think like had something similar to that, right?
Yeah. And I mean, like that would be a good source of evidence that there was other carbon-based life out there as fossilizations in meteorites. Like that would be a possible thing, you know, like you could find that and show it to people. That's like a good actual test case. But despite the paper's claims of this source, this is not something that people consider to be true.
Yeah. I was wondering like, how do they factor in like the DNA evidence, which is pretty rock solid.
Yeah. So they say that although we can't look at the DNA in the Cambrian era, of course, they bring it up that somehow they propose that there must be a massive amount of genetic difference between the mollusk and the octopus, which is true, of course, although they're in the same lineage. And they said they believe that an alien retrovirus inserted itself into the DNA. And since octopuses, some varieties have the ability to change the way that their DNA manifests in some degree, which is somewhat true, although it's a simple way of putting it, that it's enabled the retrovirus to actively impact the evolution of the octopus and make it be super cool, basically, over time. And it explains a lot of its kind of amazing behavior. So they say, though, those other things may not be true because this other hypothesis might be true that cryonically sealed. So like frozen in coldness and protected by coldness, low metabolism state, octopuses in the embryo phase landed on Earth 275 million years ago.
What?
And they would have seeded the waters and stuff. That's obviously the most believable.
I'm looking at this paper's figures, and they literally look like something I made as like a meme shit post. like they have a squid.
Look at figure five.
Figure five is great. It's like squid plus coronavirus equals octopus.
Yeah, it's awesome. Figure five is beautiful. It's one of the best figures I've ever seen in a paper.
And they're all, and the images are sourced from Wikimedia Commons, like literally what I use.
They're literally like, they're like, well, what do you cite as your evidence? So I'm just like, well, squid plus this thing equals octopus. It's like the underpants gnomes thing, dude. It's
this is where all our work is done.
So what are you going to do with all these underpants that you steal?
Collecting underpants is just phase one. Phase one, collect underpants.
So what's phase two?
Hey! What's phase two? Phase one, we collect underpants.
Yeah, but what about phase two?
Well, phase three is profit. Get it?
I don't get it.
You see, phase one, collect underpants. Phase two, phase three, profit.
Oh, I get it.
No, you don't, fat ass.
Do you guys know anything about corporations?
You bet we do. Us gnomes are geniuses at corporations.
What is who signed off on this paper? There's a lot of people on this paper.
There's like 30 authors to this paper.
Jesus.
Yeah. So pretty interesting, right?
No, because I know, see, like I heard the filtered version from Ancient Aliens. That was like that said basically this, that octopus is from outer space. And they cited this paper, I guess.
So this paper is heavily cited by pop culture sources. Or places like I Fucking Love Science and those kind of things. Extremely popular. And it still gets spread around and reposted to this day. So although it's a few years old, it's still very much in the zeitgeist, this kind of reporting.
Oh, God.
It's been covered by the proclaimed fool Joe Rogan, as well as there's a popular football channel on YouTube. Very popular channel. They actually talked about this as well on there.
Football channel.
Yeah.
Weird. Okay.
Well, they're probably a bunch of dude bros. They probably heard it from Joe Rogan, right?
Oh. So.
And you know how Joe Rogan is. He's the kind of guy who believes the last thing he heard. You know, he has no ability to distinguish truth from fiction.
Right, right. Yeah. That's a good way of putting it. Heard, like, believes the last thing he heard. Yeah. It's whoever's the freshest is the one who's right.
Yeah. Like, you know, I think that's why he's, I don't want to talk about that guy. Fuck that guy.
I think this is ridiculous. And I'd have to read through their paper. Maybe that something will jump out at me.
So here's the thing that although there are a lot of co-authors, right? The main one, his name is Edward J. Steele, right? Now, this guy is a huge panspermia advocate, and he wrote a book about it even. Now, he's from Australia, by the way.
Mm. Is it Lamarck's signature?
Yeah, that's it.
Lamarck's signature.
Yeah, so Lamarck, basically there's different panspermia hypotheses throughout the centuries, right? One of the more modern ones and the one he adheres to is basically the meteorites land on places with organic chemistry and seed them, right?
Oh god, I'm on his Wikipedia page and there's a thing for COVID-19.
So I was gonna bring that up. He also had a popular paper circle around, you know those YouTube channels where like the robot voice tells you a bunch of bullshit?
Yes.
And they have like some wild thumbnail, which is like a dude standing outside the pyramid and then like a 3D model with a chessboard and then like somebody getting eaten, you know?
Yeah,
that kind of shit.
Welcome to 999 Explains or whatever, something like that, something crazy.
Science is explaining and learning new things all the time, you know, that kind of video. Yeah.
So, I know the robot voice. I can hear it in my head.
So he's very popular in that, whatever that group of people is, you know, he's popular with them. He wrote a paper also in 2020 where he claimed that COVID-19 originated from a meteorite that landed in the Wuhan area.
What?
And that is why COVID-19 broke out.
This is insane. There's no evidence of that. Well, why does he jump to meteorite as an explanation for everything?
He really liked evolution. Final Fantasy VII. Years are fucking cool.
That's because COVID-19, it has the whole debate on like, I know that like some family members of mine believe that like China engineered it from created in a lab and stuff like that, which is just not true. It would have genetic signatures that would be like consistent of like
that
it grown
that
in a lab.
That is not impossible, but it's very unlikely.
Yeah, and there would be evidence of it. There'd be strong evidence of it if it wasn't a naturally evolved virus or whatever. Sure.
It is not. I'm not saying that this is true or for any political reason. I'm just talking about the actual possibilities. It is possible that you could have developed it through selective pressures, right, and not engineering. So you could have done that to create it. But there is no reason to believe that's true. I'm just saying genetically.
Right, right. It's like jumping
to me saying it happened.
No, you're right. Yeah. No, like there's people that jump to that explanation no evidence and no reason to jump to that explanation. Yeah.
So basically a fireball was seen over northeast China on October 11th, 2019. And he claims that that specific meteor was the source of the COVID-19 outbreaks.
Whoa. I wonder how many meteors were like landing across the earth.
So the thing that makes it so obviously funny to me is what's the virus that was on the meteor? It was COVID-19. So what's the 19 stand for? Right. These are variants on a form of life. Right. So like, where did the other COVIDs come from?
We're not going to talk about that.
So COVID-19 came from a meteorite. Okay, it's a virus on a meteorite.
It's entirely coincidental that it resembled a virus on Earth that has had many iterations.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, you know? It's like if aliens come and they look exactly like deer. I don't know. Stupid.
Yeah, that would be very odd if we, if aliens came down and they look like slightly like deer, like almost exactly, which is like
their skeletal structure and their nervous system is the same, and they have the same amount of chromosomes, you know, and it's like, huh, that's weird.
That's weird. That's a coincidence. You guys are related? No, completely unrelated.
No, not fucking related at all. Okay, I'm an alien deer. It's like, I don't think you are, man. I guess this is a fucking trick. Anyway. So when this story came out, the popular Skeptic's Guide to the Universe kind of covered the story, right? And you know, they kind of shit on it because, you know, it's shit. But then Edward J. Steele actually emailed the show and basically, you know, said, how dare you guys not take me seriously, right? Here, I'll read you the points that he wrote.
So he kind of got butthurt about it when people called him out for being
Before I tell you, guess what he said. So basically, they said the things that I said, you know, this is not a very serious journal. They said these hypotheses aren't backed up by very good evidence. And the point that I haven't made yet is like the Bayesian reasoning doesn't really make sense. He's trying to appeal to unlikely events occurring by more unlikely events, right? To put that simply. So what do you think he said?
I think he said that there's like a conspiracy of scientists that know he's right, but want to censor him or something along those lines.
Yeah. So basically, you know, I'm going to paraphrase. It basically writes in is like, you know, dear Stephen. So Stephen Novella is head of the New England Skeptical Society, and he's like works at Yale, and he's a neuroscientist, and he runs the Skeptic's Guide to the Universe, a show I was on a few years ago. Actually, if anyone wants to check that episode out, but it's one of the premier skeptic podcasts and resources. Anyways, so he says, dear Stephen, I can tell that you got quite emotional and you're not thinking straight. Oh. And it's right. Oh. And he's like, I suggest you actually read the paper. And then he goes on to talk about how he's a molecular immunologist and evolutionist, which evolutionist is a funny word because only people who like are out. Like creationists and stuff normally use it.
Yeah, they don't. People that are actual scientists don't really use evolutionists that much. It just sounds weird.
Like we don't call ourselves Darwinists, you know. Like we are Darwinianists, like the creationists say. Like we don't say that, you know.
Yeah,
we just say we believe in you know, biology,
like biology and genetics.
Yeah. Yeah, he goes on about his expertise. You know, I'm an expert in RNA. I'm the fucking best at DNA. Blah 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 blah, and these are his main arguments, right? He says, argument number one, your periodic fossils and meteorites can't argue that. They're 4.5 billion years old. Well, like I said, that's all bullshit. You know, there's no evidence of that. Now, point number two, you'll never get this. He basically, this is what he says. He says, interstellar dust, infrared, red extinction spectrum, which basically, so we're taking pictures of space with particular lights and filters and getting these pictures is what he's saying, right? But these pictures show a spectrum of freeze-dried E. coli in space, which is figure one in his paper, right? And he says this is one of the most exciting and demonstrable like pictures in all of science, right? Like better than like the picture of the double helix. Like this is like one of the best single pieces of evidence in science is this photo. Now, what this photo is basically, like I said, it's particular kinds of light spectrums that they use to take a picture of the cosmos, and there's a bunch of dust and particles in that picture, right? Mm. He's saying that those dust and particles are E. coli.
Oh.
And he's saying that they're E. coli because they have a similar size to E. coli, possibly. Although they could be about a trillion different kinds of particles. That kind of sounds like a weird jump and like I'm strawmanning him, but I honestly don't understand his argument any further than that because that's all he really says.
Jets of organic molecules in molecular oxygen from emerging from a meteor, which that could be many things.
It could be any particle. Like,
I guess why is E. coli specifically?
Because the way that he measured the size and shape basically, I think he had like a chart that says the size and shapes of different bacteriums and stuff. And you look down the chart and it says E. coli for that size. So.
Oh God, there's a section on here for evidence of extant life on Mars. So like life that's still living on Mars, not extinct life.
Yeah.
These are all claims done because I'm not saying that that's entirely impossible. It's just it's built on there's no wide consensus for that.
These are a bunch of different ideas, right? Like
right, they're not all connected too.
Any one of these things could be true, and the other ones could be false.
Right.
You know. So his third point is bacteria in the cosmic dust on the external surfaces of the ISS, the International Space Station. So basically, we found bacteria on the outside of the ISS. So therefore, there is evidence of bacteria in space.
That doesn't mean anything. Could be contaminated.
Well, it was contaminated.
Right.
So, like, think of it like this. Like, you're trying to find where water comes from, right? You're like, yeah. Oh, it's wet. And you look over there and you got like a big, you know, those indoor swimming pools. They can have like aerial on them or, you know, something. Minecraft, whatever, the big inflatable pools that you get from Walmart, right?
Right, right, right.
You put it on your carpet in your basement, your kid's swimming, and then you come down, you're like, oh, I see a big pool of water there, and it's wet over there on the left. I'm like, I wonder where that water's coming from. I can't figure it out.
Must have came from somewhere else.
It probably came from the pool, right? It's like, so you have literally octillions of bacterium in a giant fucking cloud on Earth. And then something sitting right outside of Earth has some bacteria on it. And there's people inside full of bacteria. And so there's a little bacteria on that little thing outside Earth. And you're like, man, I have no fucking idea where that bacteria came from. Can't figure it out.
This is weird. How did this get? I guess it got published because it was in like kind of a not really prestigious journal.
Yeah, I don't feel like I have the scientific expertise to flat out trash a journal, you know?
Yeah.
But from my understanding and my reasoning, I would not hold this journal in high regard myself. I'll just say that. But, you know, I'm not a publishing scientist. I don't have the expertise. So that's all I'm willing to say.
It's just the claims that are being made are a little out there. And then there are things that like they're being stated in a way as if like there's wide consensus on them.
They lack the humility you would expect from good science and good science writing.
Right. You know?
Right. Now his fourth point that he wrote to Steve is one word in bold. Guess what the word is?
I'm sorry. I'm looking at the notes. Yeah. It's the tardigrades. It's the water bears, right?
Tardigrades. That's his point. His whole point is just the word tardigrades. It's
people
like this,
love those guys. People,
they become almost a pseudoscience favorite nowadays. I'm kind of tired of it. But yeah, so, you know, that's not an argument. Number one. I suppose he's talking about tardigrades because their ability to
survive in a vacuum.
Yeah, basically lower their metabolic rate extremely low and like survive in extreme conditions. They're extremophiles, right?
Yeah.
That doesn't prove a goddamn thing. That has nothing to do with fucking anything, right? Like, so here's the thing about panspermia as a hypothesis. So abiogenesis, basically carbon-based life, simple materials becoming complex materials to become what we call life happening on Earth is an exceedingly rare event from what we can tell because we only have one example of it, right? Mm-hmm. So that's a very rare event. We have no idea if life can happen elsewhere or has happened elsewhere, but we do know that it is here. And although event may be rare, you know, the fact that it's rare didn't mean it didn't happen. For life to have happened here and then it to be affected by life happening elsewhere and the life started Cambrian expansion happen, retroviruses come in a meteor and then make life happen here better, that requires two extremely uncommon events to happen, right? You need abiogenesis to happen on Earth and you need to have it happen somewhere else. Now, the somewhere else probably isn't in our solar system because I doubt the theories are suspecting that it happens in our solar system. So you have to have this life form come from another solar system, right? So now you're upping the probability again, because every light year that meteor has to travel decreases the likelihood that it could hit this target. It decreases the likelihood that the carbon-based life on it could survive. It would be affected by radiation or hit by something else. Like, you're trying to answer the how did we get this rare number thing by proposing a whole extra series of rare numbers, right?
Right.
Like, and that's bad reasoning. You can't, it doesn't work that way, you know? Like, it's not an improbable thing that carbon-based life could have happened elsewhere and that one planet could seed life on other planets. We could seed life on Mars, right? Like, mm-hmm. that is not impossible. It's just that there's no evidence that that happened. This kind of research would not be able to conclude it because it's not rigorous. And also, we have an evolutionary line for the octopus.
Right. There's fossils of its development. And then,
yeah.
And then the genetics is pretty clear that it's, you know, it's, it hasn't been, I don't know, manipulated by an extraterrestrial or something. I just don't know what you would even be looking for.
You're looking for the guys from fucking Prometheus.
Well, that's the thing about Prometheus is that, like, we know that humans and other apes are related to each other just because their genetics, like, are so, so similar and indicate that there's branching events and stuff like that.
Yeah,
Prometheus posits that we descended from these big white guys, engineers, that are completely unrelated but have, like, near identical DNA to great apes and stuff for some reason.
Yeah. Weird, huh?
This guy basically sounds like he watched Prometheus and was influenced.
Yeah, you would be great friends.
We would not. Well, no. We would not.
So yeah. So that's a popular theory. And if you go on YouTube, there's just like all bunch of videos about it. You know?
I bet his stupid coronavirus meteor thing got a lot of traction. Like, I could see like a lot of crazy people latching onto that.
Yeah. And like, so one might ask, okay, then Miles, not that that explains it, but how are octopuses, how did they get all these awesome adaptations that other mollusks don't have, right? They're like, well, the thing is, they lost their shells, right? Their ancestors had shells and they were more defensive. When they lost their shells, they started to become more like predators. And predators commonly involve more intelligence than prey species because prey species have to go, oh shit, and run, right? Predators have to go, ah, I wonder where he's running to. So like they need to develop more complex thinking and develop more means of chasing down that prey. So as this version of a mollusk became a predator, they became more intelligent and adapted to, you know, being smarter, weirder dudes. So
evolution is a very good like explanation for the complexity of life. Like it works. It's a simple explanation, but it works.
Yeah, that's yeah.
Yeah, gradual development of stuff over time as a result of like environmental pressures at work. You don't need to overcomplicate it, especially with stuff that just doesn't make any sense.
Especially with bullshit.
Especially with bullshit. Well, this is unrelated, but this guy, Miles, I'm pretty sure he's an anti-vaxxer as well.
Oh, well, yeah.
I mean, he says, a jab in the arm can't work. So there you go. So...
Well, which is
again another example of like kind of like these ideas coalescing. Like, if there's one kind of crazy thing, it's kind of related to another crazy thing.
That's funny because I shortened this, but I was going to do a whole thing about like the different theories of where life came from and then talk about panspermia, right? Because, like, one of the guys who kind of killed one of the old this is where life come from theories is Pasteur, right? He like helped kill the spontaneous generation theory, which is basically the theory that. Life comes from decaying matter because he basically like, you know, he's like, look, if you have milk and you boil it and don't let anything in it, nothing grows in it. So life doesn't come from that. It's that there's fucking bacteria getting in it. You idiots, you know. And that guy also had a big like science duel bet about vaccines working because like he tried to prove that anthrax was a biological thing and could be infected by or stunted by a vaccine, and he like vaccinated some of his sheep and then like bet this guy a bunch of money that it worked, and then it worked, you know. So there, it's kind of funny that these guys who like try to actually listen to what the data is telling us and do science, like they all come to these similar opinions, and like the people that don't listen, you know, they're anti-vaxxers who believe in fucking alien octopuses and shit.
I'll say I'm alleging that this guy is an anti-vaxxer. I just saw a headline where he just says, where it quotes him as saying, like, a jab in the arm won't work, which it sounds very anti-vax to me. and talking about the COVID-19.
You wanna use your beautiful voice to read Darwin's last paragraph real quick and
species
to finish us off?
Yeah. There is grandeur in this view of life, with its several powers having been originally breathed into a few forms or into one, and that whilst this planet has gone cycling on according to the fixed law of gravity, from so simple a beginning, endless forms most beautiful and most wonderful have been and are being evolved. Oh.
Yeah, it's awesome, right?
It's beautiful right there. It's like beautiful.
It's the last paragraph of On the Origin of Species, the most important book ever written. And evolved is the last word there. And it's the only time it's used in the book.
Nice. That is awesome. I've read it before, but I didn't read the whole thing like that. It's very nice.
He's awesome.
He's a talented writer.
Oh, yeah. He's pretty good. He's Charles Darwin, everybody.
There's science writers that are kind of like bad, like they can't write, but like that's very poetic. Like it's done in a way that's poetic, but also informative.
Yeah. I wish Dawkins didn't get old and have Twitter, because I really like his books. He's a good science writer.
Oh, yeah. No, I like Dawkins.
I still like Dawkins. He just says some shit that sucks sometimes, but you know.
Yeah. He's got some good work. I like his work. Sometimes I try to like separate the author from the art, but it's hard sometimes.
He's not like a total asshole on some of this stuff. I think he gets a little taken out of context, like gets misled on some like the culture war hysteria, you know, and like people show him somebody acting like, you know, not reasonable from a side. And he's like, well, that's stupid. And that's like all his say about it. Right. But like somebody did ask him like on. I hate that this is like such a big argument. Everybody has to happen. Like ask him about like trans people. Right. And he like gave a question, an answer about chromosomes, but he said, you know, he's like, he did say it's just a matter of common courtesy to call somebody by whatever gender they want to be called by. So I was like, well, at least he has that opinion, you know, not the most progressive guy, but I think if he was younger at this time, he wouldn't be talking like he is. I think it's an artifact of age.
Yeah. Some people just shouldn't have Twitter.
Yeah. Well, I don't think a lot of old people get Twitter. You know, and so like they come off like worse than they are because they just don't really get what's going on. There's a fucking Lance field out there. It's dangerous.
No, you know, I've encountered it on Twitter where, you got to be careful what you say. And I think some people, so especially old people, don't really understand it, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Now I'm watching. I watched a little bit of this Edward Steele guy talk, and he's like, the coronavirus is like a common cold. Most people get over it. It's not that big of a deal. It's like, uh-oh, I know those talking points.
This is the guy who has a degree in immunology.
Apparently. Yes.
Okie dokie.
So he likes octopuses as well. Yeah. Dang.
Well, anyways, but so octopuses are not from space, and every single publication that had that headline, you can throw them in the bin. I'm personally saying, how dare you to all the people that say that they're SciComm writers who spread that shit around? You should know better and you should do some fucking research.
Yeah, no, I think some people like just see like publication, like peer reviewed publication or something and expect it to be like good. But there's another level where like, it's like, okay, who's peer reviewing it? Who's publishing it?
I mean, look at Figure 5.
Figure 5, yeah. For people who are listening right now, like, look up this paper and look at Figure 5. Figure 5 should tell you that this is total bullshit. like this is, what is this? You shouldn't believe this.
Yeah, and like I said, like, I'm low class, you know? I don't have a degree in this stuff. I don't publish, you know? I can tell it's bullshit. So, like, these people who work in SciComm gotta do better. They gotta do better. I mean, there are examples of people who did good, but there's a lot of big publications that, you know, ran this bullshit and people just learn the headlines. So, you know, I'm calling you out, but I feel justified in doing it. So do better.
I think the vast majority of was it SciComm mm-hmm. writers are bad. Like, I think very few of them are skeptical and critically thinking.
Well, this is one of the points I was trying to make when I was talking to some of the scientists I was working for when I was organizing the March for Science, because they were pretty naive about a lot of pseudoscience stuff, right? And like pseudoscience groups that have agendas and pressure things, like, because, you know, like a chronic Lyme disease group wanted to partner with us, which is a pseudoscience, not real disease, right? Lyme disease is real, but chronic Lyme disease is not. And like, they don't know about this stuff. Like, they don't have the education about people who grift science and spread pseudoscience. And I'm like, you know, if you're going to do SciComm stuff, you do need to learn about skepticism. You know, you need to take a little class in it or something. Like these grifts and these history of popular ideas that keep reoccurring, it's something us who care about skepticism know. And I don't know. I think it's important. You got to have your baloney detector tuned up. So
very few people, I feel like, are critical, like are skeptical. Too precious few, unfortunately.
Yeah,
I hope the number can be brought up because there's some bad SciComm. We were talking a little bit about it before we started recording that SciComm is really bad out there, especially now that like it's social media is good, everybody having a voice is good, but sometimes
maybe
I say that, but sometimes it's very easy for misinformation to spread, people to get clicks and views and stuff from saying misinformation. Yeah. Everybody that they did not find Leonidas's, the Persian emissaries that Leonidas kicked down a well in 300. That didn't happen. That was a fake story that popped up a little bit ago. Do not listen to it.
You mean an artifact from a Frank Miller comic doesn't exist and wasn't found?
They're like, no, and they had like pictures of like the skeletons. Turns out they're from like a completely different site.
I like when the Persians were invading that territory, they like heard all the legends about the Spartans and like how strong they were defending their territory and stuff. When they actually rolled up to Sparta and it had like no walls and shit, they're like, well, this isn't Sparta, this place looks like shit, let's go conquer the next place over.
that's good. Yeah, dang. Yeah. Get better science comm, everybody. Get on that.
Yeah, and if I ever say anything wrong on the show, you'll feel free to, you know, light me up. I probably say shit wrong sometimes.
I've said wrong stuff.
I'm not above it. You know, I just try. So
yeah. I made some big mistakes. I had to make some videos correcting myself because sometimes that you read a paper and you misunderstand what's being said.
Well, some of the T-Rex stuff you did changes so much, you know, like
some things change so much, and there's debate between different scientists on like that level. And then also times there's papers that are behind a paywall, which is infuriating because it's okay, you're kind of asking like for misinformation to be spread when it's like difficult for people to get a hold of it. Yeah. Paywalls, get rid of them. They suck.
Well, enough about bad science reporting and nonsense. Let's go to a show that searches for answers.
Yeah, science searches for answers.
Monster Quest.
It's Monster Quest.
Let's start.
Witnesses around the world report seeing monsters. Are they real or imaginary? Science searches for answers. On Monster Quest.
This one had a little bit different intro, the graphics.
Were they? I didn't even notice.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Their CGI octopus was, oh boy.
You mean the boneless horror?
The octopus giganteus?
Why do they call it a boneless horror?
It's got no bones.
It's like, all right, boys, what are we doing today? It's like, well, you know, I thought we'd go look. I think there could be a giant octopus up in around Seattle. We can't call it a giant octopus, man. The people already know about a giant octopus. I got an idea for you. It'd be the boneless horror. Turn in lights. You know, like that's what happened.
It does sound like something like a 1920s like circus guy would be pronouncing.
The guy who went and got King Kong, he would think of this shit.
Boneless horror. Check it out.
Yes. I love the IMDb pages for these because like half the people are eyewitness. Yeah. Some guy who says some shit.
I love the boneless horror, the page, the logo, the backdrop that it gives it for IMDb because it's just a guy with an octopus on his face like dying. Like a face hugger.
Okay, Trey. So if you haven't guessed it, because we kind of said it, we're looking for a giant octopus.
Yes. Giant octopus.
Not just any octopus. We're looking for a specific octopus, the giant Pacific octopus. Oh, that's I didn't mean to say that way, but I said not a specific octopus, the giant Pacific octopus.
Yes.
Anyways, which is, say its scientific name, Trey, so I don't have to say it.
The fake one that they're looking for?
No. The actual name of the actual.
Oh, office. You're bad. I should not be given this job here.
I know, but I don't want to do it.
I'm bad. People know me. I'm awful at pronunciation. Let's see. Especially my Latin. Oh, my gosh. Oh, this sucks. Look at this Latin name.
You could do it.
Inter Octopus Dolphini.
Yeah, I think that's it. We were going to have an octopus expert come on the show to talk about this thing with us, but they weren't able to make it, unfortunately. So she would have had to say that. Now we have to say it. So it's not fair.
The fake species that they made up is way easier to pronounce.
Okay. So basically there's two things going on here. There's one real animal, which is an actual large octopus that is real and lives like 10 minutes away from my house, right in the Puget Sound, right?
Yeah.
And then there's a possible larger version of this octopus, right? Tell us the story of that, Trey.
Yes. So Monster Quest sets it up with like multiple legends and stuff. But some of them seem kind of unrelated. So like first one is like they go to Andros Island, Bahamas. There's a Lusca, a giant octopod that lives in deep underwater holes and like grabs people and stuff. So there's a giant octopus there. Then there's the St. Augustine monster, which is people who have seen my videos is the globsters, if you know what that is. It's where there's mysterious carcasses of creatures washed up on beaches around the world. And in St. Augustine, Florida, there was one in 1896. That was claimed to be a giant octopus. Yeah. So in 1896, this mysterious carcass washed up on the shore in Florida. And this one guy, Dr. DeWitt Webb, examined it. And he didn't know what it was. And they got another guy out there.
It was weird looking, right? It's a big, weird fucking thing on the beach.
It is really weird. It's gross looking. It looks like a filled up grocery bag that's been just thrown out. It's giant. It's huge, too. It's 30 feet across, 600 pounds. You know, St. Augustine monster.
And this was the 1890s. So everybody, you know, it's full of lead. And they got a bunch of like paint and wax in their mustaches. They're breathing in all those fumes. They're wearing tight hats and tight belts and suspenders. So people are kind of fucked up in general. So you see this thing on the beach, you know, and you're like, what the hell?
They got cocaine. Yeah.
So I'm saying, you know, like everyone's a bit fucking out of their mind. You got to remember that.
So the whole situation, it kind of turns into like this local sideshow where everybody's trying to look at the monster, the remains of what was supposedly like a quote unquote monsters. So people are taking photos, old timey photographs of it that are kind of washed out, but there are people near them. And then there's later they get the octopus expert, right, of the day.
Yep.
Viro.
He was like the octopus guy, and they sent it off his way. And so he didn't actually see the thing in person, right? They first sent him some photos of the thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, they sent him photos. And of course, these are late 1800s photos, so they're kind of not the best.
They don't have Instagram filters.
They have Instagram filters. they had like the DeWitt Webb guy. He's like standing in front of it. He's like doing like a selfie near it.
He's like, hey.
Look at this creature.
So based on like the notes and the photos and stuff, he said it could be a new species of octopus. Yes. And it could be over 100 feet long.
100 feet long, because they said that like what they thought were arms were chopped off.
Yeah.
They were stumps. And he gave it a name. He gave it a scientific name, which is kind of like, I don't know, you don't really do this in science.
Yeah, because it's like not a holotype, right? So.
Right. Like he gave it Octopus giganteus, like its own special scientific name, which even back in the day, I think that raised eyebrows where people were like, that's too soon.
And because he did that, that is still like listed in taxonomy and stuff.
Really?
Like, yeah, it's still like a name, you know?
Even so though, people can't use it.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah. And then so later he got like a physical sample, right? Of this.
Yeah. This so, corpse. You know, he's like, oh man, we found the fucking coolest octopus monster ever. I'm so excited. Dude's like, all right, man, I'm going to send you a stanky ass sample of this fucking dude. And he goes out to the mail one day, checks it. He's so excited. It's not there. You know, he's like, fuck. He has to go back inside and he does whatever you do back in the day, you know, read the Bible. Whatever.
Read the Bible. That's like a science. That's part of the scientific process.
Yeah, you know, like you got whale oil lamps. You know, you clean your deck. You do whatever you have to do. He gets up the next day, and he's just, oh shit! He goes to his mailbox. It's there. It's finally there. You know, and he's like, fuck! It's like fucking Christmas. He runs inside. One of his shoes fall off. He doesn't care. He just fucking runs up the deck, and his wife's like, quit running up the stairs. You know, he's like, shut up, woman. Oh, and he pulls out his microscope kit. You know. And he puts on his little like fucking science hat and everything and his lab coat. He don't have to wear a lab coat, but he's going to wear a lab coat. It's his big day. Right. And he looks at this thing and he looks at it and he's like, oh, shit, man.
It's a whale.
Fucking blubber, bro.
I like that idea. I need like a live action reenactment of that. Cause you're right. Like it had to have come in the mail and he probably was excited.
Yeah.
To,
that's like, what happened. Right. Like he's waiting in the mail for
this is going to make his life.
Yeah, a material example of a 100-foot octopus that he named, right? Like, that's the coolest shit.
Right, and that's going to make him famous. If that's real, that's going to – and this is the only – in fact, this is the only reason I know that Skies existed is because of the story.
It wasn't specifically just blubber. It was, like, part of, like, a blubber membrane or something, which is important because in this episode, they talk about how, like, it was later examined and found out to be a whale, right? Like they even say that in this monster quest. But then they bring in some science dude who's like, I don't know, man. I don't think it's a whale. It could be an octopus, right?
Oh, yeah, that guy.
Yeah, that guy. And and that guy bases it on saying because it doesn't look exactly like whale blubber to him. Right. And the reason it doesn't is because it's part of like the blubber membrane or something, which I don't understand the body of a decomposing whale perfectly, but there's a reason why it looks slightly different than just, you know, normal Acme blubber. So
right, yeah, no, I agree with that. Where there's so the contrarian, so they have two biologists on here. It's one is Sidney Pierce, who's the guy. He sounds super depressed when he's talking about the Saint Augustine monster.
Yeah, he's like, man, fuck.
He's like, oh, he said he wanted to, like, he as like an undergraduate or a grad student or something. He's like, I wanted to conclusively show it to be an octopus and it would be my key to fame and fortune.
I know. The guy was so excited.
And then he's like, then it was nothing. Then I wasted my life.
But see, like, he's honest, though, you know, he doesn't just hold on to bullshit because, you know, reason must prevail, right?
Right. Yeah, like, so I don't think either of us are whale experts, but in his opinion, it has the sample that is preserved. I don't think there's DNA in it because it was kept in formaldehyde, which kills DNA.
Yeah.
So you can't do that, but, like, the collagen and, like, structure of it is very indicative of, like, a whale or consistent with a whale.
Here's the photo that makes it look like an octopus the most is this one. I don't know. I'm sure you've seen it because you mentioned your video, but this one right here, that looks like an octopus to like first glance, right?
Yeah. So like, some of the sketches look more octopus like than what other angles show it to be.
Have you seen some of the people try to recreate some of these monsters like this one? they try to draw it.
Oh, let me see. I love some of the. Oh yeah, that's Trunco. Trunco. Yeah, no, I love seeing some of the globster recreations. I love globsters; they're great.
Yeah, and Trey has fantastic videos on globsters that you should like and subscribe to.
Oh, thank you. Here's the sketch, Miles. I love the sketch of it. Because here's the thing: is like when the story was coming out, like it was kind of like a game of telephone where people. We're not really publishing the photos like they would do like drawings. So there's like famous newspaper drawing that came out around this time. The Pennsylvania Grit is its name. And then it's like it's a Florida sea monster. And it like is a totally fictional version of it. It has like an eye. It looks kind of cool. It's like a creepy little drawing, but it's entirely baseless. It's just some cartoonist doing it.
So yeah, this is basically the origin of the octopus giganticus as a materialist biological creature, right?
Yeah.
So, like this is the thing that gives it some bona fides. Of course, mythologically, there's lots of giant octopus and kraken and serpent-like creature stories, you know?
Yeah.
They so even they bring up...
They brought up Scylla, right?
Yeah, from Homer.
Yeah, because of course.
Yeah.
And then, you know, yeah, they brought up 20 Leagues Under the Sea, right?
Well, not only did they bring up 20 Leagues Under the Sea, what's the quote? I wrote this shit down.
20,000 like, Leagues.
Where is it? I like one of your notes that says, sparking a scientific debate that continues to this day, and you wrote, no, it doesn't.
That's what they said about the St. Augustine monster. Like, yes, there's still debate to this day. And it's like, they just found one biologist who would disagree with like everything, like everyone else, yeah. The contrarian. Joseph Gennaro is the contrarian. And he's been making these claims that it's an octopus for like, I don't know, 50 years. Cause in like, there's one documentary he was in the 80s where he basically said the same exact thing and hasn't changed his mind since.
Yeah. So when they show the 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea footage, and this is the retro one, not the Disney one. They show it. And then our announcer guy goes, some believe this isn't all fiction. I'm just like, my man, why do you say things like this?
Are you seeing what you're talking about? Like, it's like a puppet.
So part of the episode when they actually go looking for these things is they're going to look for, you know, Octopus Giganticus. But also, like, there are the stories of an extra large version of the real octopus, right? The great Pacific octopus.
Mm.
And that's up here in the Puget Sound. Now, this is cool because I was just down in Tacoma because I went to see Elton John, right? I was literally, like, over the bridge that they go to. And I was at the park, like, that they're diving off of. So I was just right here.
Whoa.
Like, literally, I was, like, right where they're at in this episode. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I was like, the last two episodes, like, happened in my backyard. It's kind of funny.
Yeah, it must have, like, I don't know if there's anything to that. Maybe, like, they're like, okay, let's knock out, like, five episodes in one trip.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
Because I thought it was weird that, like, all the legend stories that they're talking about, like St. Augustine Monster, Lusca, and then, like, other ones are in the Atlantic Ocean. And mm-hmm. then they chose to go to the Pacific.
Yeah. Like, what if the Homer thing was real? That's way over, like, fucking other side of the world.
Yeah, I think Scylla is in Sicily.
Yeah, like even if this monster that's not real was real, what would it have to do with this other creature?
Right. They're filling.
They always do that shit, man. They're like, well, some other person said something weird happened somewhere, so therefore something weird could happen here.
They did some weird-ass filler this episode with the guy cracking the coconut.
Oh, we'll talk about that in a minute. Yeah.
okay, we'll get to that.
So on this actual real animal, though, right? Like, they can get quite big, like, for reals. Like, the largest one ever found was 600 pounds and 30 feet across, right? And apparently these are female ones that get the largest that, like, get done with breeding and kind of get left alone. They can just get hella fucking big. And, like, that's, like, legitimately, like, a monstrous thing, right? That's pretty awesome. Also, like, these octopus, it's not that they hunt and stalk and fight humans, but, like, they'll fight you if you spook them, you know? Like, they're fight or flight. Sometimes they'll turn on fight. Like, if people go up around them, they'll be like, hey, man, I'll grab your ass, you know? So, like, they're a little scary in that regard. Not that people are, like, hanging out where octopuses are hanging out very much, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, so, like, there's lots of legends down here. Like, there's a person who claimed to see, like, a 10 or 15 foot tentacle sticking out of the air by the Tacoma's Narrow Bridge, which is the bridge I was just over. And you, like, hear stories like that from locals every once in a while, right? That they, like, see one of these or they get spooked by one of them. So, like, there's a lot of stories and, you know, people could see them. It's not impossible. Probably not that big of a one by the parks, but, you know, it's just part of the culture up here. People say they see them. And then also, do you know about Galloping Gertie?
Galloping Gertie. It sounds vaguely familiar. Galloping Gertie.
Yeah. So we had a bridge that we built up here across the Puget Sound. Right. And real quick, the Puget Sound basically is, it was carved by glacials. And then when the glacier removed it, like, the ground kind of swelled up a bit. And it's a whole bunch of inlets that connects to the Pacific Ocean, but it's like half salt, half fresh water with pockets of trapped fresh water. and you can move through it all the way out to the Pacific. So orcas come up it and stuff. So it's half ocean, half not, right? It's like where Seattle and Tacoma, where I live, it's all built around this area, right? But we built a bridge across one of it, and the bridge, when it was windy, would gallop. It would go. Boop, 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 boop.
I've seen clips of this. Yeah. Like TV shows. Oh,
very
my
famous.
God.
And and one day it eventually galloped so much it just like it wiggled and wiggled and wiggled and did the Harlem shake and just broke, right?
Yeah.
And there's like a video of a guy and he goes back for his dog on it and everything. It's like pretty famous.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah. But there's a big myth around here that one of the biggest octopus in the whole fucking world lives under that. A gigantic Pacific octopus, one of the biggest possible specimens, lives under the remains of Galloping Gertie. So it's a very, very popular myth.
Why does it live under there?
It's just a good story.
Yeah.
Like, I guess you could say, like, large octopus do like structures and dens, right? Like, they actually build dens. We'll see some of these when they go searching for them. So the fact that there's, like, a bunch of man-made material that might be large, kind of, it's a good home for an octopus, you know? And people say that they see big ones down there when they go diving. And they actually ban diving to that area now. So that, like, oh, what are they trying to hide kind of thing, you know?
They still want people dying down there.
Yeah, don't die. Also, in the 50s and 60s up here, there was a diving group called the Mud Sharks, right? And they would hold this World Octopus Wrestling Championship where guys would dive down and go to the octopus dens and gardens. And they'd try to grab one and bring it up to the surface. And the octopus would wrestle you, right? So the thing was to try to, like, fight the 8-arm octopus and get it up to the surface.
What the heck? So. Dang.
Yeah.
You West Coasters are really something.
Yeah. I don't know if this hurts the octopus or not. I don't know. It's they probably don't like it. It probably stresses them out.
Yeah.
It's probably not a good thing to do.
Or something. Somebody would not like it.
You know, but maybe they like it. I don't know. Maybe it's fun. Thing about the Giganticus. Before we kind of go on our search for this dude is like, so the story happened and like, you know, it was kind of popular, but then it kind of went away because nothing became of it. Right. Mm. But then in like the late 60s, so this is kind of the beginning of kind of like the New Age movement, right? Or like, you know, you get a lot of crystals and aliens. And this is soon after In Search Of comes out and Bigfoot gets more popular, all that shit. Right. Chariot of the Gods is published. And then Arthur C. Clarke, and Chariot of the Gods is basically the originator of ancient aliens theory, you know? Mm. And then Arthur C. Clarke's Mysterious World comes out, and it talks about St. Augustine's monster, but it doesn't really include the debunking part.
Oh, that's funny. I also took notes on Arthur C. Clarke's Mysterious World.
Yeah.
Because Joseph Gennaro, the guy that shows up later, is on it back then.
Yeah. So, like, that kind of helped bring this creature back, I think, into pop culture. Also contemporary to that, one writer at the time actually wrote a book arguing that it was a space alien. So I kind of like that because it kind of ties my story back into this.
Why are people think octopuses are from space? Like, I get it. They're weird and creepy looking.
Because they got big eyes.
All right. They look like the things from War of the Worlds. Martians.
That's another thing about octopus evolution that is kind of strange that the octopuses or alien people bring up that I forgot to mention was that their eye evolved kind of differently than a lot of other eyes, you know? And so, like, it's a very particular kind of eye. So
they got no blind spot.
Yeah. That's a funny thing that creationists often bring up. It's like, how could you possibly explain the eye? It didn't just evolve. The eye is so perfectly designed, blah, 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 blah. Well, guess what, man? It evolved like 12 different times. So shut the fuck up.
Some better than others.
Yeah, man. We got a blind spot. Like you said, you know, like, I mean, our eyes are fucking backwards. It had to invert. Like, don't make no sense.
Yeah. I think isn't our eyes grew out of like brain cells or something like that. Well, octopus like grew out of like skin tissue. So like there's a distinction between like where the nerve endings connected. I'm trying to remember my neurobiology stuff. That might be like not the best, but yeah. Like the difference in evolution. Yeah.
Oh, and creationists will say things like, oh, well, the eye couldn't evolve because, like, what good is an eye that barely works? I'm like, just knowing if it's nighttime or not
right,
is better than not knowing that, right?
Sensing, because there's like bacteria that have like proteins that just can sense light and dark, and that's like a very primitive eye that just allows them to travel closer to the light versus farther away from light.
Yeah, because sure, because light or dark can mean 30 degrees in temperature, which means, and you have to understand, like from a physics point of view, temperature is energy. So like you may want to hunt or move around at a certain time of day when there's more or less energy out there, right? Like it matters to you as an organism.
Yeah.
Shut up, creation.
Or food. Yeah.
Just dumb.
A quarter of an eye, like even like 1/10 of an eye is very, very useful.
Yeah.
I don't understand evolution, and I have to protect my kids from understanding it. We will not give in to the thinkers.
You people are as loud as you are ignorant. Now get back on your turnip trucks and go home. That is an insultingly accurate stereotype, sir. As a professor of science, I assure you that we did, in fact, evolve from filthy monkey men.
I cannot speak for you, sir, but my ancestors were not monkeys. They were orangutans. Hard-working, patriotic orangutans.
Dr. Banjo?
In the fur. And I remind you that evolution is merely a theory, like gravity or the shape of the Earth.
Hey, Professor, I'm a flying spaghetti monster. You seriously believe I'm descended from some kind of flightless manicotti?
Yes!
Oh, please. A far more logical explanation is the undisprovable science of creaturism. All life was created in its present form 7,000 years ago by a fantastical creature from outer space!
Bunk!
Oh? If your elitist East Coast evolution is real, why has no one found the missing link between modern humans and ancient apes?
We did find it. It's called Homo erectus.
Then you have proven my case, sir. For no one has found the link between apes and this Homo erectus.
Yes, they have. It's called Homo habilis.
Aha! But no one has found the missing link between ape and the so-called Homo habilis.
Yes, they have. It's called Australopithecus africanus.
Oh, I've got you now. Fair enough. But where, then, is the missing link between apes and this Darwinius maculae? Answer me that, Professor.
Oh, okay, granted that one missing link is still missing. But just because we haven't found it doesn't mean it doesn't exist.
Pshaw! Things don't exist simply because you believe in them. Thus saith the almighty creature in the sky!
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess we're kind of, you know. Creationists aren't really defending themselves. They're kind of out of arguments. But
the creationists, like, are they... I guess they're still technically a thing because, like, the Ark Museum is still a thing. But, like, I think they've kind of been defeated, right?
Well, I think they've ran away from Reddit. And they ran away from some places, but I'm sure they're still out there, man. And to me, UFOlogy is just kind of a new religion. Mm. I think people treat it like a religion. That's why panspermia is interesting to a lot of people. You know, they want an origin that's not a pool of goo millions of years ago. They don't like that. So all these things are kind of connected to just a different version of creationism.
Pool of Goo is cool, though.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I made a debut on Star Trek. So,
you're like the Uri Miller experiment. Like, that's a cool experiment. Just like using, like, I don't know, just the environment can create like the building blocks of life just naturally. Yeah,
but you can make some amino acids, you know?
Yeah.
I'm looking on YouTube to see how creationist videos.
They're doing how they're performing with the ratings in creationist videos.
So Ken Ham's not doing too good.
He isn't.
Uh-oh. His actual channel only has 23,000 subscribers.
Ooh, he's not even in the 100K club. He doesn't even have a plaque.
I don't even have a fucking plaque, Ken Ham.
Have a plaque. Ken Ham,
oh, shit.
Eat fucking shit, Ken Ham, you piece of shit.
Let's see how Answers in Genesis is doing. Okay, Answers in Genesis, not doing too good, man. We got the real reason why geese fly in a V-shape, only got 10K.
Ooh.
Exploding the Big Bang myth only got 34K.
Ooh. Ken Ham, he posted a video 3 days ago. Only 429
views. We got a good one here, though. Christians, we tried to warn you with the thumbnail of Mickey Mouse having devil eyes. Got 266K.
Oh, so,
culture, okay. Culture war stuff is where it's at, baby.
That's they need to be a little more culture savvy. Yeah.
Oh, they got a picture yelling at Elizabeth Warren. I don't know what that has to do with anything.
What happened to the ancient Egyptians, Ken?
You got people yelling at transgender kids. Shut the fuck up, man.
Oh, fuck.
Fuck you. Does the Bible mention Quetzalcoatl is the video?
What the fuck? What, like the Aztec deity?
No, Quetzalcoatl is.
The pterosaur. Oh, that'd be really funny if it mentioned Quetzalcoatl, like the
giant serpent god.
Is the giant serpent god? Is Aztec mythology canon? I don't know.
I don't know what's canon in the Bible, man. Good luck with that one.
There were like the Spanish missionaries that like to claim that Jesus was Quetzalcoatl and stuff like that.
Yeah, why not, man?
Because of course, yeah, you know, why not? Why not? I like that idea that if there's a heaven, there's like some Christians that early Native American Christians that like basically still believed in their old mythology, but like were kind of Christian at the same time. So like,
yeah,
like, okay, we'll accept you in, I guess.
Pocahontas converted to Christianity and changed her name to Rebecca, and she apparently believed in Christianity.
Yeah, but like, how much did it, like?
Well, so that's the thing. You don't know who's saying that, but she did go to England and she talked to people about it, you know? So I don't know. There's a lot of controversy around the Pocahontas story, you know, but that's one example of because that's a pre-American, that's a pre-United States of America, Native American, you know, that early contact by the Europeans,
right,
converted to Christianity, then went to Europe. So it's just one of the, from a data point of view, it's a big data point, but we mostly have some of her words and then other people writing about her. You know, that was right. Contemporary, but of course you could say they have a colonial bias. She's an interesting character, though.
No. Yeah, that's an. I would like a movie adaptation of the Pocahontas story. That's.
I think it'd be pretty hard politically because for example, if it is political or if it is historically most likely that she did convert to Christianity willingly, you know, whatever that means, you know, like I don't think modern liberal audiences would like that.
Right. It would, you know, nuance and stuff is very difficult to pull off nowadays.
Yeah. Cause I mean, like, you know, you could see it as a rebellious girl, you know, or you could see it as a person interested in what this new culture has to do and, you know, legitimately interested in following their traditions and stuff. Right. Or, you know, like the Christian preachers, they were good at talking. They have interesting things to say. And she doesn't see it as contradicting her mythology and stuff. So she's perfectly fine accepting both, right?
Yeah. Or just using like, it, make it like understand that it was like a political move. Like,
yeah. Or she could be extremely savvy and was trying to increase her power both with the Iroquois Confederacy and with the people of Jamestown. And she was really smart that way, you know? So I don't know. Yeah.
Just a quick correction. I mentioned the Iroquois Confederacy. That's, of course, a mistake. Pocahontas was from the Powhatan tribe, and they had their own Confederacy-type organization, so it was on my head, and I just mixed it up because the Iroquois Confederacy has just been commonly spoken about online recently. Additionally, if you want to know more about some of the history of the story, Our Fake History is an excellent podcast that does a little series on it. And, you know, it's a very interesting topic, of course, because a lot of the information we get is from a colonial lens. And so it's always important to remember that when talking about what happened and, like, you know, who's portrayed as the good guys and bad guys. But, you know, there's a lot more nuance to these things than that as well. So,
yeah, Malinche, like, who was Hernan Cortez's, like, interpreter, like, it's a very similar situation where it's hard to depict because, like, the historical figure. It's very debatable how much agency they had and stuff.
Yeah. Well, because we're all extremely sensitive about how much colonialism has impacted these stories, you know, but we have to, I think, be a little careful always painting the other people as like these innocent victims who never acted with their own agency, you know, because they could have all different kinds of opinions and act in different ways. So you don't want to dehumanize the early Americans just because we're trying to be extremely critical of the colonial forces. So it's hard.
It is hard. Yeah. A movie. And I think a movie would be very, very difficult to do that.
Yeah. It's hard. It's hard to do I mean, look at the way the Woman King handled it, right?
The Woman King. Yeah. Did you see it? Did you watch the
Woman King? I did not watch it. I'm sure. I mean, there's very good actors in that movie. I'm sure it's a good movie. You know, I'm just talking about it from a historical perspective.
Yeah, it's very yikes, and I don't know if they would handle it right.
It would be very difficult to make a movie about the role that different African tribes had in the slave trade. You know, it's a hard thing to do because you need to have a main character you want to root for. But when they're doing extremely unethical things, even if justifying them might help you tell the story better because you can understand the story, but then you're going to be accused of justifying the behavior, right? Which is kind of the contradiction of trying to write a good story and then trying to write a historically accurate story. So those things get hard to do together at the same time. So.
Yeah.
But none of this has to do with
octopus. None of this has to do with
octopuses. Sorry. And by the way, if people are wondering, it's not octopi. It is actually octopuses. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not stupid.
Octopodes.
I feel better after I had my tea. I was feeling a little stupid.
No, I can feel. I can feel it.
I needed my caffeine, is what it was.
Oh, caffeine. I get it. I get it.
I'm addicted.
I'm addicted. Just like how you said that.
Okay. So, anyways, Trey, we actually go looking for these two fuckers, right? The real one. We're looking for a big mama, real one, and then we're looking for maybe the guy who doesn't exist, but maybe he does, right?
Right. Right.
So who do we get to go look for these dudes?
We get Jack Crusoe. Crack team. We got the crack team from a past episode. The best episode.
Because crack team.
Oh, that was an unintentional pun, but that works. Yeah, the Kraken team.
Hell yeah, brother.
From the giant squid episode. They want to replicate it. They're like, okay, the giant squid episode was so freaking good.
It was our one
win so far. Monster Quest won. Everything else, 28 or however many episodes we're in, they got Scott Cassell, who's mm-hmm. and Dale Pearson, who are both divers and cameramen. Great guys because they got the giant squid.
Yeah, so these are experienced divers. You know, they're not scientists, but they're, you know, these guys, they like nature. They know what they're doing. They're real good at diving down there. And fuck, they found the giant squid. So who can criticize them, right? Mm.
That's right. Yeah, and they dive down into
Puget Sound. They're out past kind of the park and one of the big points down there in Tacoma. Like I said, I was literally like half a mile from that exact spot, standing on the shoreline the other day. So
that's crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty fun.
Have you ever seen a giant Pacific octopus out there?
Yeah, we have. So they actually show the octopus that I've seen in this episode. We have the octopus at the Seattle Aquarium that's quite famous. He has a big tank in the middle of the aquarium, and he's very famous because he got out of his tank quite a few times. They have the big fish tank that has like some sharks and sturgeon and a bunch of whole kinds of fishes in there. And they kept finding them dead overnight, like getting eaten and stuff, right? And so one night they just like, what the hell is happening, man? Can't be losing our fishes. And so they have a stakeout, right? And so they do their little stakeout, and they see that the octopus is crawling out of his cage, sneaking through his little tubes, going across the floor, sneaking into the little water system, going into the big tank, eat one of the sharks or one of the other fish in there, and then before the humans get back so it doesn't get in trouble, sneak all the way back into his tank.
Dang.
And they're like, fuck you, dude. You sneaky octo bastard.
You've cost us thousands of dollars, hundreds of dollars.
Right? Because he's eating little sharks and stuff, man. Like
those were rare.
Yeah, actually, a day and a half ago, he was halfway out of his cage while people were there, and they had to like put him back in. He was crawling up throughout the outside of his tube, which seems like he wouldn't be able to do it, but he can.
Man, they need to seal him in. He's a troublemaker, this guy.
Yeah, so he's pretty popular. And it's cool because they showed him in the thing. And like I said, I've seen that guy several times.
Same octopus? Is he that old?
Yeah.
Is he?
Yeah, they live a while.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah, so they're really cool. And they like they care for some there and they let them go and stuff. Like they just like had a new breeding pair they let go and stuff. And they take care of them down there. So there's a lot of them around this area.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I think we have one at my local aquarium that I saw once, but it was like when I was a kid. They're cool creatures. They're awesome. Yeah.
I haven't seen one in the wild before, but, you know, I've seen this exact species before in captivity, which is still cool.
Mm.
Yeah, so basically they got a special camera system, right? Where they got the Aquapix system.
They have several, right? They have several like unique little cameras. They have one that takes a picture every 5 seconds or something.
Yeah,
like
so that, it's the Aquapix system, which they deploy. It takes a picture every 10 seconds in a rotating 360 pattern.
So it sounds like a nightmare to look through all those pictures. Yeah.
So they got that, which is pretty good. Oh, also, I like that they talked to one of the guys at the aquarium. They talked to the guy, Roland Anderson. And they're like, hey, man, does the fucking giant octopus exist? And he's like, fuck no.
the aquarium guy?
Yeah, the guy who works at the aquarium.
He was not having it. He was like, he's yeah, like, no. Yeah.
He's like, yeah, the giant Pacific octopus is the biggest octopus there is, and that's all there is to it. Goodbye.
And Monster Quest is like, damn it, we can't edit him to make him say something that he doesn't want to say. Shoot. He was very stern with his words.
They do mention a couple times where octopus has attacked people, too.
Mm-hmm.
They had the guy that dove down like 80 feet, and the octopus like attacked his face and tried to pull off his mask and shit. Danny Maru was his name.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, that was, I mean, you know, like I said, they'll fight you, I guess.
So. Scary. You just got to, like, if you don't want to get attacked, like, just don't go into their area, I guess.
They don't,
it doesn't seem like they attack humans without, like, I don't know.
Well, yeah, like I said, they're not preying on humans. But, you know, you could bump into one on accident. He'll come for you.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're pretty tough. It looks like all of our boys are making it out of there alive, you know. Still.
He kept on, what did they say? It's like he kept on attacking me. Oh my god,
he's pulling his mask off and
pulling the mask off. Oh my
and
god.
And they show one like fight one of the ROVs, which is basically like an underwater drone. It was like chasing it. Get out of here.
Yeah, and they had a little tiny camera that could be stuck into octopus dens.
Yeah, it's like on a selfie stick, basically.
Yeah. 2008 selfie stick.
Octo stick.
And they shoved it in the octopus hole.
So basically, they go down underwater, and they find like an octopus's meals graveyard, you know?
Yeah.
And then there wasn't one there, and they go to another little den, and they find an octopus, and they put a selfie stick in there. We can see some bad pictures of the octopus. You know, that's what they find.
Nothing super interesting. They find average-sized octopuses.
Yeah, the Puget Sound is full of life. We got orcas up here. Every once in a while, there's a beluga, you know. Gray whales can be spotted up here. We have the largest octopus there is up here. We got all kinds of weird fishes and every beautiful thing you see in the ocean, all the weird little crawly guys, they're all there. And, you know, I'm sure they had a great dive, but... And they found, you know, octopuses and stuff, but they didn't find anything new that we didn't know was there, which is what you'd expect, right? They were thinking, because some of the parts in the sound, they say, I think, 600 feet, but it actually gets deeper in the sound. There's 900 feet in the sound, so I don't know why they said that.
Dang.
But, yeah, but because, you know, the great glacier-carved sections, right? They were thinking that if they got above those drop-offs, deep sea, because if the octopus is real, it probably lived deep sea, you know, deep sea gigantism and everything, right? So like it would come up from the deep and then feast in the incline on different species, like perhaps on this octopus species and other stuff, and then go back down. So that's kind of what they were thinking. But, you know, because it doesn't exist, they didn't get any pictures of it.
They like, there was one part that I kind of rolled my eyes at where they have like the photos from the Aquapix. And they're like, that looks like an octopus there in the corner. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
It's a shape, and then it's gone. It's gone. Yeah. They're like, yeah, they're kind of like, okay, no, that's like nothing.
They got to say something, man.
Guess that's right. Yeah, they got to like hype it up, like, because they found nothing. And they're like, okay, we can't really act like we found really nothing. So, yeah.
Yeah, you know, there's not much to say about the search, really. They just kind of did like a normal dive and. They took some pictures and they didn't find anything, and that's kind of is what it was.
Yeah.
So They did have the guy with the coconut thing though.
Yes, yes, that was I guess to fill some more time. They like asked this guy like, okay, how much pressure can a octopus, like a giant octopus's beak, do? Okay, and then we're gonna size it up to like an insane size, to like, was it 400 foot arm span or something like that?
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, because we don't really know how gigantism works, we're just gonna like size everything up proportionally, because that's because of course,
because that's what we're doing. All right, that's what we did. Fuck you.
And then like, so they get the beak, and it's like this giant huge beak, and they replicate the pressure that it would do, and oh my gosh, it cracks a human, it doesn't crack a human skull, it cracks a coconut. Oh my god.
I like how they're like, and we use the coconut standing for a human skull, even though coconut's not like a human skull, and it is twice as different in terms of like the pressure needed to crack it, but that's what we used. And then we cracked it. And so that means something.
The coconut is stronger than a human skull, so it could totally kill somebody.
Basically, like before those YouTube videos where people crush things existed, you know? And yeah. So like they're like, hey, we got a crusher thing, we'll crush a thing.
Okay, before crushers were more like open to the public, when crushers were limited to only a few people. Yeah.
And pretty much the Monster Quest this episode, I guess.
Yeah, they don't find it. The St. Augustine monster is not a giant octopus. It's a whale.
Yeah, basically that's a whale. Lava. And so looking for it is not something that would result in an octopus.
Yeah. Right?
Since it's not an octopus. So that's basically fruitless on its face. If there is a different larger octopus species, it's not here most likely. They do the whole 95% of the ocean floor is unexplored thing, you know, at the end. Like, yeah, they say 95%. It's just kind of bullshit. Like, there's a lot of, basically, there's like different degrees of what counts as exploring the ocean, right? Like, the whole floor is mapped by satellites, obviously. Hmm. It's a moving, like, pardon the pun, but liquid is space in terms of where things are. So like, yeah, we're not down there all the time. We don't know where everything is. We're still learning about a lot of ocean life. There's still fish species we don't know about for sure. But like, there's, I don't know. I don't think there's a giant octopus living down there. That's the size of Giganticus.
Exactly. The statistic that's often like thrown out there about it being, there's not enough resources to, something that big would require a lot of energy and move a lot. And yeah, it's not like equivalent, like a snailfish. Okay. A snailfish is like the size of like an index finger. And of course that can like elude humans for a very, very long time, 'cause it's small. And it's able to exist in very isolated areas. But like a giant, especially 400 foot octopus, that's going to take a lot of energy.
A lot of energy, yeah.
It moving would be very noticeable, but yeah.
I guess they would eat whales. I don't, like, what is down there to eat?
Right. Yeah, because that's one thing that they don't really talk about, is that like, what does the giant octopus eat? They like, it eats other octopuses. It's like, okay,
because they don't just live on plankton and stuff, right? Like,
no.
Things. Yeah, they're predators of larger creatures. So, yeah, I don't think that there's a mass. There might be some really large giant Pacific octopuses, and there are. They're probably shrinking oversized, like most fish are shrinking oversized due to climate change. And selective pressure by humans.
Resource scarcity. Like
food. Yeah, well, like the largest fish are mostly, except for some niche examples because of weird environmental things, are largely shrinking in size because humans tend to select the larger fish because of, you know, trophy regions or whatever. Mm. So they remove them from the population. And so that helps to shrink them over time, along with the pressures of global warming, you know, that together. So.
Right.
So yeah, that's this episode. You know, it was a fun episode, but not, I don't think, one of the better ones.
It wasn't super exciting. It's fine. Well,
let's see. So it is the 55th out of 68 rated Monster Quest on IMDb.
Oh, it's towards the back of the pack.
Yeah, huh? So it gets a 5.7. Dang. So I'd probably give it like a 5 out of 10.
Yeah, I'll do a... Let me think.
They did go get into the water and find octopuses.
That's more than the ghosts.
They brought their good team in.
I'll give it a 6.
Okay. So, you know, it's fine.
Not a 7, a 6. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, they mentioned that, like, I'm looking at some of the comments on YouTube. And, like, one of the guys mentions, like, yeah, they really should leave the camera down there for, like, a year or two. And they mentioned that would probably be the best way if they were going to find it, you know? Can't leave it down there for a week and find it. So.
They had that crab in a jar. Remember that?
I don't. Oh, yeah, yeah. That they tried to feed it. Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, just don't like that.
It's okay. Octopus can get out of jars. If you like put them in like a peanut butter jar or something, like you can screw the lid off and get out. It's pretty cool.
I wish you could have a conversation with an octopus. Like, what would it be like?
Well, there's that fake documentary about a guy and his octopus.
Oh, the guy who like fell in love with his octopus. Yeah, yeah. I remember that.
Yeah. Fake.
Fake. Fake.
Bunch of bullshit.
What's next after this one?
Okay, let's look. So yeah, not the most fun episode, but people enjoyed the show, I think.
We ramble. It's fine. People come for the science discussions and stuff. It's good.
Just a reminder to any of our Patreon backers, you are free to send us questions, and we will answer them as well, and we love your guys' support. But if you guys ever do have any random questions, just feel free to send them in, and we're happy to answer.
Oh, it's Bigfoot in New York.
God damn it.
New York, New York.
New York, Bigfoot.
Start spreading the news. Bigfoot in New York. I don't know where I'm going with that.
Big Apple, Bigfoot.
That sounds really cool. That sounds like a good, like, I don't know, comedy movie, like Bigfoot in New York. And it's like,
well, it says locally it's known as the Monster of Whitehall, which sounds much more interesting to me.
Monster of Whitehall, huh? Oh, okay. It's like upstate New York.
Upstate New York.
I'm from Utica. Never heard that expression.
Oh, not in Utica, no.
It's an Albany expression.
Yeah.
Dang, I got that like seared into my brain, like the entire transcript.
It's pretty funny.
The Simpsons is really like the early Simpsons.
Like
I never really
watched the Simpsons. Like,
yeah, I never watched it like as a kid, but now I'm like watching it. I was like, it's pretty funny. It's pretty good.
Well, that's the episode, everybody. We talked about space octopuses. We talked about water octopuses. We talked about how the cops are racist.
That's right. That's right.
I mean, I don't know if that's how Trey wants to say it, but that's how I say it because I do not like the police.
The police are not out for your benefit. Always be suspicious of the police and always ask for a lawyer.
I had the police try to pull a gun on me one time.
So. Really? Shoot. Dang it.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I was walking up to 7-Eleven, right? Because I was playing Final Fantasy 11 and I needed some Mountain Dew to get me through the night, right? Because I got to get my Dragoon to level 75. You understand.
I got you.
Fuck yeah. So I was walking up to I was walking up to 7-Eleven. I got my big old cup in my hand with my friends Willie, who we don't like anymore because he voted for Trump. And then my buddy Mitchell, and we were walking up there, and look, man, this part sounds weird, but we kind of were dressing like ninjas a little bit, right?
Okay.
Now we wanted to dress like ninjas, and so that's why we did it. So I want to make that point clear. We had black shirts, and we like you can wrap it around your face, so like you got like a visor through the neck hole, you know, goes through your eyes. So we were ninjas, and we were doing parkour and shit because we were just dicking around. And then these cops roll up and like V formation go and stop, right? And they like pull up their guns and they're like, put your hands up, shit. And I was like, oh, fuck. And the cops are like, what are y'all doing out here? And we're like, we're playing ninja. And he's like, what the fuck?
What?
And I was like, well, man, we were just going up to get some Mountain Dew, but like we've been playing video games all day, so we were trying to get some exercise. So we were just playing ninja. He's like, that's stupid. You guys should be out drinking or something.
He was roasting you?
And I was like, man, we're like 19. We can't be drinking. He's like, I was drinking when I was 19. And I was like, sir, what does this have to do with anything? Can I please go to 7-Eleven to get some Mountain Dew? And then the problem was when they pulled up, my friend Willie was over in the bushes, right?
Uh-oh. Is he taking a piss?
No, no, he was like making a joke because he was a ninja. He was like going to sneak up on Shuriken and us, right? And I was like, so officers, my friend is dressed like a ninja over in those bushes. I'm going to have him come out. Please do not get alarmed when a ninja comes out of the bush and shoot him. I need you to not shoot him. And they're like, don't you guys know that people dressed in black robbed the grocery store up the road the other day? And I was like, of course I don't fucking know that.
Yeah, if I knew that, I wouldn't be doing this.
Yeah, I was like, I don't keep tabs on who is robbing what. I'm not involved in crime. I'm involved in Final Fantasy and Mountain Dew and ninjas. I'm not in the crime part of town, you know? I'm an idiot. I'm just fucking around. And they, like, scolded us for being stupid.
Dang.
Yeah, so that's what happened.
I have a cop story where I was pulled over for speeding. And
Bad Trey. What you gonna do?
Look, and here's the thing is that my like gym teacher back in high school told me the best thing to do with a cop when you're pulled over is stick your hands out the window.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did that because I was like terrified. Yeah. And I think the cop thought I was like an insane person, so he called for backup. And we had to wait for like three other cop cars to come over there.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, and like I was there for a while. And he just gave me a warning or whatever. But don't do that. Don't stick your hands out the window. It's crazy.
Fucking gym teachers. Thanks a lot.
Oh, and then of course I had a box of Mike's Hard Lemonade in my back seat.
Oh,
I wasn't drinking though. It was a gift from my parents because my birthday was recently. It was a gift from my parents.
I don't even drink at all. Like I don't drink.
So, really? Like,
yeah, I don't drink alcohol.
Oh dang!
So, like man, I was like, "What the fuck, cops? Get off my case! I don't do shit."
Yeah.
Well, anyways, that's our show. Fuck the police.
Yeah, the police. Get him out of here. Get him out.
Get him out of here. All right. Good talking to you, Trey.
Yeah, good talking to you too, Miles.